And certainly our Lord spoke to us about forgiveness. So my subject today is the gift of forgiveness. Now, if you haven't decided what you're going to get people for Christmas, here's a wonderful gift. But you're really not just giving it to someone else. That's not the most. Actually, to me, the gift of forgiveness is a gift you can give yourself. And I don't mean just forgiving yourself for some failure that has transpired in your life. But I mean letting that person go that has hurt you. You know, releasing them from the emotional pain you're feeling that wants to be vindicated or wants to be restore some restitution or whatever. Forgiveness is not just something we give to others. But I think it's most important when we just give it to ourselves. When you just let that person go. The Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness. And my subject today is just somewhat of an abbreviated subject. We're not going to explore it in the kind of depth that I would like to. But have you ever thought you had forgiven someone and then you got around that person and you realized, hey, have I really forgiven them or not? Because the things I'm feeling right now are not good. You ever been there? You're almost positive. Hey, I forgive you, whatever. We kind of just say it, you know, I forgive. But then you got in their presence and you said, I was surfing through some articles, and I apologize, I don't have the pastor's name that put this together, but I want to share this. He said there are 5 ways to tell if you have forgiven someone. 5 ways. He said he calls it test number one. He says it's the thought test. When your first thought, he says, that you have about them is not the injury that they've caused in your life, but it's a positive thought. It's a good thought. That person that's hurt you, that has injured you, and then when you somehow you interact with them, you see them, the first thought, not a bad thought, but actually a good thought. He said, you most likely have forgiven that person. And that's a great thing, and that frees you up. That's that to worship and pray, as I'll talk about in a moment. And then he said there is the test where you might have an opportunity to help them forgive. If there's a situation that they need your help. And this is a person that has injured you. This is a person that has hurt you. They have betrayed you or lied on you or whatever they've done to cause you pain. But now you are confronted with an opportunity where they need your help. Would you help them? Would you help them with the kind of a heart that you want to help them? I remember someone telling me one time, said, I wouldn't spit on them if they were on fire. They have not forgiven. You know? And so, would you help them? The help test, okay? And then he says, general thoughts test. You know, when you just think about this person, when from time to time they pop into your mind, are they positive thoughts? Are they negative thoughts? Are they vindictive thoughts? Painful thoughts? And then he says, there's the revenge test. Do you still think, he says, about getting even with that person? Do you want you want retribution. You want revenge. And then he said there's the failure test. When someone injures us, we often wish harm upon them. You want them to fail. You know, and this could happen at every level. Guys, you play baseball, you play different sports. Somebody hurt you and they flirted with your girlfriend. You know you want them to strike out. You know, we want people to fail that have hurt us, not forgiven. So that's interesting because sometimes we just say the word, you know, well, I forgive. But the reality is maybe not. Well, why is it important? And whose business is it if I have? Well, it's very dangerous not to forgive people. We'll see that in just a moment. Jesus says in Mark 11:25, he says, when you stand to pray, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. When you get ready to kneel and pray and ask God for whatever, and you remember that you have not forgiven, he said, you might as well just stop right there, because this prayer is a waste of time. It can destroy marriages. Peter says that when a husband and wife are on the outs with one another, their prayers are hindered. They may be praying, but if they're not in accord with one another, he says their prayers are hindered. He said, don't do that. Have compassion. Forgive one another. Be courteous. Even said, be like brethren. Be Christian about the way you interact, even with your spouse. Forgive them, because if you don't, your prayers are hindered. Colossians 3 says that we're to bear with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. You are supposed to forgive as God has forgiven you. What has God forgiven you of? More than I think we can even imagine, really, because we tend to get amnesia about our own sins while we're looking at the sins of others. And so forgiveness is extremely important. Unforgiveness shuts up heaven, breaks our fellowship with God. We like Samson in the Old Testament when his hair was cut, that he rose up and said, I'm going to go and destroy the enemy as I have before. And he finds out the Spirit of the Lord was not on him. And so when we carry unforgiveness in our heart, we're kind of like that. We may be going through the motions, but we've lost the unction. We've lost the power. We've lost the ability to do things in that special way that God wants to bless us with. Jesus, more than one time, ties forgiveness directly to our prayer life, because that's the source of our strength. Prayer is, as John Hyde said, the soul's blood. And so if you're not praying, then you're robbing yourself of a lot of strength. But if you are not forgiving someone, then you are certainly hurting yourself. Why don't you consider giving yourself the gift of forgiveness? By forgiving someone else, you're freeing yourself up. Let's look at what is commonly known, perhaps the most familiar text in all the Bible. Matthew chapter 6, we'll read verses 9 through 15. I say that because people of all backgrounds know what is typically called the Lord's Prayer. I don't refer to it that way. I think it's a model prayer. I think the Lord's Prayer is found in other places, particularly John 17. But certainly I understand that this is, but people of all backgrounds, they're familiar with this and can quote these words. And so we're going to look at it, and we're going to see that Jesus talks, even in this prayer, about the need for us to forgive. The Word of God says, beginning in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Now think about that. Lord, I want you to forgive me like I forgive others. Is that really what you want? Is that really how you want God dealing with you? The way you deal with other people. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, he's back on that again, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Could anything be more plainer than that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these few moments, I pray that you draw our hearts to a genuine attention to this very vital subject. Not because I'm speaking on it, Lord, that's not important. But because as we all navigate through life, we are constantly tempted to retaliate. We're hurt often in life. And Lord, give us the grace that enables forgiveness so that we, Lord, can continue a deep and strong fellowship with you and please you and fulfill our purpose on this earth, and that is to glorify you and build your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. The word forgive comes from a Greek word that means aphiomi. And it's translated different words in the Bible. Most often it's translated forgive. Sometimes it's translated leave. But 47 times it's translated release, give up, let it alone. And so when you're trying to deal with what you should, how you should handle a situation where someone has hurt you, he says, leave it alone. Forgive. Release them from the emotional obligation to fix this thing. You know, I know people that live with an unforgiving heart and they can't sleep. They stay angry. They're irritable. The Hebrew writer says it's a root of bitterness that springs up. It troubles us and it defiles others. And it does. If I'm carrying unforgiveness, it affects my personality. It affects my coping skills. It affects the way I handle different things and manage different things in my life. And I'll tell you what, that affects the people around me. Amen. I mean, seriously, I defile others. Nobody wants to be around an unforgiving person. And so it's a very, very serious thing. And so we want to send it away. Send that a person away in terms of you don't have to pay me anything else. It's actually a financial word. I think I shared this with either someone recently or perhaps I mentioned it, but let me say it again. If I borrow some money from you, Kyler, if I borrow a little money from you, Kyler, he's pretty generous. I think he'd loan me a little. And then I got on a hard time. He said he wouldn't. Well, you know what? I'll remember that. And then he realized Papa is on hard times. He couldn't pay you back. Now he says, Papa, don't worry about it. Don't want you to pay it back. And he released me from the obligation to pay him back. Now, if he's wise, he's not going to loan me any more money. But he's not going to allow that to hurt our friendship, our fellowship. He has released me from an obligation. Some of you are still so angry with someone because they never apologized to you. It didn't say forgive them if they apologize. It said just release them and let God deal with them. Now, why? Now, I want to give you a few reasons to forgive. And first of all, reasons for forgiveness. We should do this because of the grace of God. Forgive because of grace. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. God has forgiven me and you that are saved for Christ's sake. The Father entered into a covenant with his Son. He says to his Son that if you satisfy the justice of God because of the sins that have been committed, and everyone that puts their trust and believes in you, I will forgive them because of what you've done. It's not because what that injured the person that injured you has done. He's going to forgive me and forgive you based on the promise he made to his Son. Now, I want to ask you something. What did you do to his Son? Your sins crucified him. Your sins stripped him naked in public. Your sins beat him unmercifully. bled him on the cross. The most horrific sight in all the Bible certainly must have been Calvary. Do you know the Bible said that all of his bowels gushed out on the ground? The Bible said that when they took that whip and whipped Jesus, one of the prophets said it was like they made long furrows up his back. They pulled the skin off his body like you'd pull the Christmas wrappings off of a package. The Bible said they made naked all of my bones. He's not just talking about the outer flesh there. It's ripping the muscle. It's ripping the flesh and all that is there. And they're stripping it all to where people actually can see the bones of Jesus sticking out. They take crowns of thorns and weave them together, mash it on his head, and then they take a reed and nail it into his brow. Why did they do that? You said because they were unmerciful, ungodly people. Well, the Father was pleased to bruise him. Why? He'd never done anything wrong because he had to satisfy the justice of God for my sins and for your sins. You know, years ago when the Passion of the Christ came out, there was a lot of debate. Who really crucified Jesus? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews? The Bible teaches it, that it was you and I. Our sins put Jesus on the cross. And so now, when you're considering whether or not you should forgive someone, you need to ask yourself, have they done to you what your sins have done to Jesus? Think about that. You know, our president-elect, Donald Trump, and I know in a conservative church it's sacrosanct. You don't speak against the, you know, Mr. Trump. And I think he's going to do, I hope he does a wonderful job as president. So many of his policies I'm for. I'll say all that to help you to understand. But one thing that disturbed me, one time they asked Mr. Trump, they said, what do you do when you need forgiveness? And he said, well, I try not to do anything that I need forgiveness for. And that was disturbing. Now, I'm not on a campaign. Don't misunderstand. I'm looking forward to his presidency. But that's a disturbing statement. Never done anything to need forgiveness? What about the sins that put Jesus on the cross? You know? And so, when I consider whether or not you're worthy of my forgiveness, I have to stop and spend a little time at Calvary, and you'll find out you need to forgive. What is the song? When I survey the wondrous cross from whence the Prince of Glory died, my richest gains I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. How could I not forgive you when I survey the wondrous cross? We don't do that enough. So forgive because of the grace of God. God sent his Son to die for us as an act of grace. We did not deserve it. So forgive because of grace. Now the second thing you should forgive, and I wish you could see this, forgive to avoid the guilt in your life. We all need forgiveness at times. How do we get released from that guilt that we carry for whatever sin that we have committed? Notice what he says in Matthew 6:15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Maybe that's why you're in so much emotional bondage. Maybe that's why you yourself are somewhat tormented by life and your fellowship is gone because there is a certain measure of guilt. You may not recognize it as guilt, but it is certainly, if you're a believer, there should be some guilt about your inability to forgive that person that has hurt you. And if that has not happened in your heart, if you're a believer, it's going to happen. But your life, your fellowship, your peace, everything of it is destroyed. Avoid that and just forgive. Some people said, I'll forgive, but I cannot forget. Well, that's true, unfortunately. We don't have the capacity to forgive. You know, God can do that. God is a sovereign God, and he has all power, and God can choose not to remember it anymore. As a matter of fact, he does that with our sins. He said he cast our sins into a sea of forgetfulness, and he chooses to never remember them again. I can't do that. Now, the older I get, I'm getting closer to it. You know, I forget a lot of things that I used to remember. But I don't have the power to just say, hey, I'm going to forgive and I'll never remember it again. But you know what I try to do? I try to remember that I have forgiven. You know, when that person or that situation comes up and you forgive, but you can't forget, stop and remember, hey, that's already been settled. I forgave that person. Let's don't. As the Greek word implies, let's send that away and leave that alone. Let's don't every time something else happens, take the cudgel out and come and beat that person over the head with it and get all historical about it and tell them, remind them of all the, you know, that they've done. No, no, no. You leave it alone. You keep it away. You don't mess with it anymore when you're forgiven. Avoid that guilt. I want to forgive others too, because of the grace that I've received. I don't want to live my life with the guilt of knowing that deep down I am sinning against God and my prayer life is hindered, so I want to be a forgiving person. A third reason is because I want to eliminate grief in my life. Pain. Jesus gave an illustration, a parable on this very subject. And he talked to us about how people that have chosen not to forgive, their life is going to be filled with pain. I started just to tell you the story, but I think I'll let the scriptures teach it. You know it. It's found in Matthew 18. Jesus says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which have an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, this is a massive amount of money. And so he's reckoning with his servants, and somehow or another, this man has got into debt with the king at an exorbitant amount. But he couldn't pay it. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, that payment may be made. Well, he's just doing what kings do. He's just being just. You actually, matter of fact, when Jesus says, forgive us that debt, if you look it up, the debt actually is something that is, it is a justifiable debt. It is a legal debt. In other words, it's not a misunderstanding. It is something that is actually owed. Yes, they owe you an apology. They owe you an explanation. But if you wait around for that, you're going to live with a lot of grief and a lot of guilt because you're still violating the scripture. And so the story continues. In verse 26, he says, next verse, please. He says, the servant therefore fell down, worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, loosed him. And he did more than just give him more time. He forgave him the debt. He released him. Now, this should make a man happy. You'd think this would be a life-changing experience. But notice what this very same man does. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a paltry sum compared to what he had just been forgiven for. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. His fellow servant fell down at his feet, and he prayed the same prayer. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. you are never more like the devil than when you choose not to forgive. And you're never more like the king or like Christ than when you make the choice to forgive. Now, the word's going to get back to the king that this man's wicked to the core. Notice the next verse continues the story. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told him unto the Lord all that was done. When people saw the way this man acted, it disgusted them. And see, that's what's hurting the church, I think, today. I'm talking about in general. When the world sees the way we act and react when people hurt us, there's a certain level of disgust that they feel because they think these people are supposed to be the forgiving people. These people are supposed to be the loving people. These people are supposed to be the kind people. So fellow servants see what happened, and they were very sorry and came, and they said, this you won't believe what happened. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy servant, even as I had pity on thee? Makes sense. Shouldn't you forgive as you have been forgiven? And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors. And here's the problem. I can assure you this. You choose not to forgive, and you will get delivered to the tormentors. Now, I'm not saying you're going to hell. If you're not saved, of course you are. But what I'm saying is you're going to be tormented by this. You're going to lay down at night, and you try to fall asleep, and you can't fall asleep because all you can think about is what that person did to you. The bed covers are going to get too short. Bed itself's hard and narrow. You get up in the morning, you're miserable, and little things trigger the memory that you have when these, whoever it was that have hurt you. And it's going to make you angry. It's going to make you upset. Might even make you physically sick. But if you're going to carry bitterness, you're going to be delivered to the tormentors. You're going to hurt, and you're going to feel the pain because you are in violation of a divine principle. We should forgive. Notice the verse continues. Or the sermon continues. Forgiveness may gain a brother. See, and this is the most beautiful thing. Rather than just cut that person off, when you go through the process of trying to forgive, it may come out in the end that, have you ever thought about that person that's hurt you? Maybe God could use you to gain a brother by showing the acts of kindness and forgiveness to that person. Jesus says this could happen. Notice the text says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. I like that. I believe that's the way we should handle it. I don't think you should go to your neighbor and tell your neighbor about what the person did. I think you go to that person and tell him. Now, I think you should go in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That's what Paul says in Galatians. I don't think you should go with a haughty kind of an attitude or a condescending spirit, but go to the person because your objective should be not to scold the brother, but to gain the brother. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So by using forgiveness and the principles Jesus taught, we can actually learn to get along with each other a whole lot better. Forgiveness. Give yourself the gift of forgiveness. Unforgiveness dishonors the Lord. There's no other way around it. Unforgiveness disgusts the lost world because they do expect that of us. We're all about forgiveness, right? We sing about forgiveness. We preach about forgiveness. Shouldn't we be forgiving? And so give yourself the gift of forgiveness. In our play tonight, you will see the message demonstrated. A man had been deeply hurt. And he was now in a position to retaliate and hurt back. And because he's human, he's conflicted with this. And he struggles to do the right thing. We're human. But when he does do the right thing, God is honored. God is glorified. You want to be delivered to the tormentors? Wouldn't it be better to gain your brother? Make your prayer strong, your fellowship with God sweet. I'll tell you something I read about. I started not to tell you about it because, honestly, I don't want to, I really try hard not to be hypocritical. If I'm struggling with something, Cindy says I say a lot more than I should sometimes, but I read that where a man had killed this young woman. He raped her and he killed her. It was brutal. The judge would later say about this brutal crime that it was one of the worst he had ever seen. He said, the judge says to the perpetrator of the crime, that in all of his years on the bench, he had never seen anyone so diabolical, so cunning, and so manipulative as this person. But as you know, at the end of a trial, before sentencing, people get a chance to speak. Usually people from the family of the perpetrator. And then there is the family of the victim. And so the mother may come and say, please give him life sentence. You know, don't kill him. He's my son, blah, blah, blah. And then the victim's family gets an opportunity to speak. Now, this was recorded in the Los Angeles Times some time ago. They stand and say this. They raped their daughter. He killed their daughter. And they stood there and said, Judge, we have forgiven him. They weren't asking that he be let out on the public because he obviously has problems. But they pled for his life. They didn't want him to be killed because they knew he would go straight to hell in the condition he was in. And they had hope that over time, the man may come to Christ. And they pled with the judge to give him life and not death. The judge says to him, this man, he deserves to die, and you want him to have life. He said, we're Christians. We believe in life after death, and we don't want him to go to hell for what he's done. We have prayed for him and witnessed to him. But he is the most manipulative man. You don't know what you're asking. This person he's so deceptive. He said, but he'll stand before God for that. And so they pled for his life. And when they said, I forgive him, does that mean, hey, look, let him out, let him go free, you don't have no problem? No. They're saying, look, we have put him in God's hands. And we're just asking you not to kill the man. What if somebody raped your daughter, brutally attacked them, killed them? Are you going to go to court and plead for their life? Or are you going to demand their death? What I'm trying to say is that in reality, our sins did some horrible things to Jesus. And we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. They're many. And when I need to forgive someone else, I'd be better if I worked from the cross instead of working from what I think I deserve. The gift of forgiveness. You don't want to live with the tormentors. You don't want to live with grief. You don't want to live with pain. You don't want to live with broken fellowship and prayers that get no higher than the ceiling. Give yourself the gift of forgiveness by giving that person forgiveness. You free yourself. Let's pray. Keith. Heavenly Father, I've spent my whole adult life trying to say thank you for the forgiveness you've extended toward this unworthy man. Sometimes, Lord, I'm so ashamed of myself when I allow myself to harbor feelings of ill will toward others. And then I'm reminded of that wondrous cross, how you were lifted up there in all that agony to make a propitiation for my sin, to satisfy the divine justice of God, so that you could rightfully, justly, and graciously forgive me. Help me, Lord, and others here today, not to be like the man in your story who had been forgiven of much, but he did not extend that. He didn't live his life that way. Make us, Lord, a loving and kind people that forgive as we have been forgiven, to the glory of God. In Christ's name, amen. Will you stand as we sing, Keith?